one more. Hey everybody, I'm Hex. Oh, it's not ready yet. Roll the intro. Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm Hex DSL, and I'm eating peanuts that taste like vinegar.
Yes, you are. I'm using the chat to live because it's stupid.
Oh yeah, I always forget to do that too. Hey chat, how you doing? Hold on, let me do the thing. Hey everybody, welcome to Trendy Talk, the show where Wing and I talk about things we found interesting this week. I'm going back to my peanuts. I did it. I did the thing. I have two things to say that are very important.
Yes.
Today I made a stir fry. I put effort into cooking.
Every time you put effort into cooking, you're disappointed with the result, and then you give up for another year.
I bought a stir fry pack thing from the shop.
Okay.
And I bought some egg noodles, and I bought some broccoli. So I diced
when you
my
say
broccoli.
Stir fry pack, do you just mean like a powder or like
no, no, it was like a bag filled with pre-chopped vegetables, but it didn't have broccoli. So I put the bag in the wok. I bought a wok as well. Yeah, right. And then I cut some mushrooms up, and I put the mushrooms in there, right? And then I cut some broccoli, and I bought some of that long stalk purple broccoli, and I diced it all up, and I put it in the pan. And I cooked a corn on the cob with it, and I steamed the corn on the cob. And I ate it, and I put some pepper, some paprika in, some mixed herbs in. And then I put like this sauce on that was for stir fries. And I ate it, Wing, and it wasn't a quiche. It was like a proper grown-up meal that was prepared. What do you think of that?
What the fuck is purple broccoli?
It's broccoli, and it's slightly purple. Have we never heard of purple
broccoli? Difference? No, I have not.
It tastes more pungent. Is it? Can we Google purple broccoli? Is it a thing?
I have Googled it, and according to this website, Foods Guy, he says it's the exact same, it's only a bit purple.
Yeah, it is a bit. There you go, it's a bit purple, yeah. I think it tastes a bit stronger, but what a
fair enough. Right? I've never heard of purple broccoli.
So I bought some of that stuff anyway. And now I have a pimple right here.
And you think that's related to the stir fry?
Yes, it's related to the stir fry.
Did you enjoy the stir fry?
It wasn't worth the effort. Like with all food, like, it's so much work. And sometimes, and I did the thing where I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, I could have just eaten this raw and got the same nutrients. What's the point in cooking it?
I'm pretty sure cooking vegetables does change something. I'm not a foodologist, though.
Let's find out, Andrew.
I was going to say I'm surprised. I don't believe I know anyone who doesn't own a wok, but I mean, I guess I knew you.
Well, I thought I'd own a wok. I paid like £8 for that wok, and I'm never going to use it again.
What are you going to use it for? You're going to break off the handle and like just stick a little turtle head on it and just be like your little turtle.
Yeah. I can't bother to read that. I don't know. But anyway, I did it. Wing, you should be so proud of me. I steamed corn. I chopped vegetables. And I put it in the pan. It was just for me because there's no one else fucking here. So I'm just cooking for me as well. It's probably the most effort I've put in food for years. And I was just like, it's fine.
You made something else a few months ago and you had the exact same reaction. I can't remember what it was.
I mean, the thing is, you know what? It's you guys' fault. You and friend of the show, Matthew Pichu, are always telling me how I need to diversify my diet and I can't just eat the same thing every day. So sometimes when I'm shopping, I'm like, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. And then I'm just like, this is shit and I've got a pimple now.
Do you think if someone else made the food, you would eat it? You'd be more inclined to eat different food?
I don't care. Like, that's the thing. That's what you guys don't understand. I'm not emotionally attached to food. As long as it's okay, I don't care. Cook whatever you like, I'll eat it. I'm bothered.
One day, someone will invent the nutrient paste Hex is looking for.
Oh, yeah. But I wouldn't say, like, oh, this nutrient paste is amazing. I'd be like, I got the calories, I got the nutrients, and I put them in the body through the receptacle, which is the mouth. And then, oh, and also, I'm probably going to poop as well. I don't like that idea.
Ah.
I wonder if it smells like stir fry on the way out. If you just eat, if you eat half a quiche,
interesting.
Half a quiche and some onion rings every day, and you basically never poop, it's amazing.
Ah. Ridiculous.
It looks like my anus looks like a belly button now. It's just healed.
What a description.
Hmm. It's like a belly button with a cleft or horizon.
Anyway, ignoring your belly anus.
Do you want to see it?
Hmm.
Do you want to see it?
I almost did once before.
You'd think I'd be embarrassed about that. But also, when I was out trying new things, that's why I got salt and vinegar peanuts, and they're fine.
You've had those before.
Yeah, they're fine. Not this brand.
Okay, it's a different brand, but the same flavour.
These are the peanuts I usually eat, and they're just the 55 pence a packet. And sometimes you get one with their clothes on.
The problem with branded, you know, nuts and fruit and stuff is that it just grows. What's the brand doing? I don't think it grows with salt and vinegar on it, but you know, it's not hard to add.
It doesn't have salt and vinegar on it? Well, if you buy KP peanuts, they're guaranteed to have been grown for 130 days and they have a fixed roasting time, so every bag has a consistent flavour and texture.
Fair enough.
It says that on the back of the packet.
I like how you've memorised it.
I've eaten a lot of peanuts. Anyway, we should probably
get XDSL sponsored by KP.
I would love that. That can sponsor me anytime.
We'll give you so many, they'll literally pay you in peanuts.
I'd save money. Anyway, guys, this is a podcast where we talk about tech news and stuff.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Don't lie to the people. Let's have a look-see.
This is a hole that we're in, and we keep doing it. Want to talk about it? Oh, I have a new website.
Yes, you do. We didn't even link it on the thingy. We linked the tool that made it, though. Oh, look, you have a little info box that says about it. That's cool.
I made that.
Yes, you did. The eagle-eyed among you will notice a difference between the websites. It's quite similar to the old one, on purpose.
Okay, so I've been using Obsidian Publish, and part of the issues I've got with Obsidian is that it costs £100, well, it costs £90-odd a year to use Obsidian Publish, which I really like Obsidian Publish, but I don't like spending £90 a year.
Is that £90 now, or is that what it's supposed to be?
Oh, that's what it's supposed to be. Whatever. I'm not sure I'm going to get a student discount next time, right? I'm not sure you get it for more than 1 year running from them. I'm not sure what the deal is with that. So I didn't want to count on having 2 years of student discount. So at the moment, I'm paid £50 for the year, which is fine. And it's up in about June. So I've got quite a bit of time left on it still. But as with all things, when I'm looking to exit, I give myself lots of time because I don't want to get to the point where I'm rushing to exit, like just before I run out of subscription or whatever. So I asked the question casually, not expecting an answer for months. And then a few people linked some stuff, but Wing linked Quartz. And Quartz instantly, in fact, hold on, here's the Quartz. Well, the Quartz website's fantastic. The Quartz website looks very similar to my own website. The Quartz website is just literally, it's basically a knockoff of Obsidian Publish. And I mean that in a loving way because I like it. But I like Obsidian Publish, I just don't like the cost associated. But you can deploy this through GitHub Pages, so it's very low effort. So all I do is I load up my Markdown in Obsidian, which is a tool I'm already using and very familiar with. I make the changes, and then I just run a command, and it just pushes the folder up to GitHub, and that's it. It's really good, and it's so easy. I don't really know why, like, because this exists, I think it almost makes Obsidian Publish pointless, because this is so easy to do. I was literally sitting here, like, making coffee and Googling how to make a stir fry with half my brain, or my other half of the brain was reading the documentation, and I got it working first time without any problems. And I'm basically a highly functional dog. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. I highly recommend it. I think it's a really good project. And the resulting website is as snappy as Obsidian Publish, has zero associated cost. And as far as I can tell, when Quartz gets updated, I just run Quartz update and that's it, and it's all done. So there's no reason it would break. And if my computer goes, and if anything was to happen to my laptop, it's stored, the actual files are stored in Dropbox, so I can just run the command again when I re-download it. It's very good, and there's basically no downside and no technical necessary needed for it.
It even has the stupid graph view.
But it doesn't gravitize the graph view. So when you get to the graph view, rather than getting a little ball, you get this weird floaty star chart.
Spider web.
It looks cool. It looks like transport. It looks like spaceship transport routes. It looks like a star. It's cool. I actually think it looks better than Obsidian Graph, but it doesn't have the cool gravity effect that means you can pull on it and it all wibbles. It's just not as optimized.
It does also have full text search.
Yeah. Also, yeah, that's another thing. It's superior to Obsidian Search in the sense that I can just type in this box and type in a word, and it'll locate that word within my entire site, as well as having a baked-in RSS feed.
I just noticed that. I was like, oh my god, he has RSS.
Yeah, I have RSS. The RSS is a bit weird because it's index.xml rather than feed or RSS, which is a bit weird. But I just put a link to the very bottom of the website, and it's just right there. I haven't used it much yet, obviously. And my recent notes button on the side, my recent notes list on the side here, is another one where I think Obsidian Publish does not have recent notes, and it was something that I felt was missing. And I think it's something they're going to add, but this has already got it. Now it's balked because I've just uploaded like 190 documents in 1 minute, so it's just pretty random because everything's got the same date. But as I start populating it, that should start working correctly. So yeah, and if you look, for instance, I'm just going to go to my Chronicles on it. I uploaded my most recent short story, Chronicles of Ned Space to Breathe. I wrote that, and I made it free on my website, but you can buy it on, if you can buy it on Itch if you want it. You can go Itch and pay me if you want an EPUB. That's linked. So if you click on that, look, you get the exact same interface you did on Obsidian. And then you click on that one, and you can just go through the chapters exactly the same. And it all works absolutely perfectly. It lacks some of the nice animations Obsidian had, but the actual text is selectable, editable, easy to use. There's no downside as far as I can tell.
You did make tiny modifications. Like, by default, yeah, the menu on the left does cut off very early.
Yeah, so,
which is a bit odd, but
yeah, this menu on the left cuts off about here. I'm gesturing with my mouse for the audio listeners. About 400 pixels down. I've changed that to 800. I think the logic of 400 pixels is so that when it renders on a mobile, you've not just got a trailing page. I think that's the logic, but I don't care. I think 800 just is generally better. It might look a bit weirder on mobile, but overall 800 pixels is better. And it's not tall enough to break anyone's interface, because if someone's got less than 800 pixels height on a modern day computer, they're doing it wrong. So I don't really worry about that. Also, the links. But one of the other ones I noticed is if I click on Chronicles of Ned again, it doesn't link the Explorer bar on the left, so it doesn't automatically pop open that page in its nested structure on the left, which is something Obsidian does do. But it's also something I'm not sure anyone would notice unless they're messing with it regularly.
What do you mean?
So in Obsidian, if I go to this link for Ned Space to Breathe, it would have selected that file in the sidebar for me automatically to show me where it exists in the nested tree. So I would know where that file exists. So just by going there, this is automatically focused on the current one. Where in this host, like in Quartz, they're unrelated. It's just a list and a website separate. So if I click on the list, it'll load it in the main page. But if I navigate in the main page, it does not load the list, which is not really a problem.
Let's see.
I also, my other tweak was I got rid of the little quartz advert at the bottom of every page. Not because I don't want to tell people what's powering my website. I've literally added it to my main page there. But the reason I did it was because I don't think it's necessary to advertise at the bottom of every page who my host is. It just seems a little bit, you know, just weird. So I have put it on my main page. So
yeah, no, I never liked that.
It's right there on my main page, but at the bottom here, I've just got YouTube, Discord, and RSS links at the bottom, just the three things that most people will ask for. I might put my my bookstore, my each store on there as well, actually, at some point. But yeah, so I've put it on the main page. So I'm not in any way not linking back to them. I don't want it on every single page. It just feels weird to me.
Bloody ugly.
It's fucking, yeah, it is. It's just not clean, right? It just looks like it might as well say McDonald's down there, you know? It's just a bit weird. I think there should be a toggle for that in the config file, personally. So just like turn off the promotion of that. But yeah, overall, like, yeah, there's, I don't really, I mean, I can't think of anything to say bad, to be honest, Wing. I can't, yeah. You know. Yeah.
I mean, there's a bit of, if you have never done GitHub before, there's a little bit of setup, but I mean, after that, you're just pushing the GitHub.
I was astonished how much I remembered, because I've not been doing this sort of stuff for a long time, and I was like, I remember to do this.
I'll be honest, I think I've used GitHub for a project once in my life, so I'm not actually super familiar with GitHub, so, yeah. But the website has a pretty detailed...
Yeah.
Page on how to do it. Like, you could basically just follow along and copy paste everything and never think about it again.
Yeah.
Oh, it is worth noting that if you don't want to use GitHub, what this is actually doing in the back is just statically generating a website and sticking it in a public folder. You can just copy it anywhere you want. But yeah, doing it the GitHub Pages way just lets you automatically handle all this stuff.
I'll just show that. So on my file structure, if I go to Quartz, which is kept inside Dropbox, there's a content folder, which is where all my markdown's kept. And then there's a public folder, which on my machine's empty because I don't locally generate it. But if I run the build option, it'll make a static copy of what it's basically serving to the public. And you can just pick that up and copy it to any web host you like. What it's actually doing this side, though, is pushing that content to GitHub and then using GitHub's own build pipeline to do it, which means I'm not the build can't fail because I don't have something installed on my end locally, which is smart. Overall, though, there's no reason you couldn't just generate it locally and just have a script to upload it. It's probably less, you're probably making it a lot simpler like that, but it also means it could break locally, where if you brought in GitHub, it's not going to get, the GitHub build's not going to get updated unless we actually update it, so it's cleaner.
They do have instructions for other hosts as well, just not GitHub. I can't remember. For Cell and Netlify. And Cloudflare, actually. So yeah, they've got options.
I mean, the only reason you wouldn't use... The only reason not to use GitHub is because of the speed. Because it takes about 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how busy GitHub is. Because it's a low priority for them, so it just goes in a queue and just gets built whenever it hits it. So it takes about 5 to 10 minutes.
I mean... You're updating the blog. It's not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all free. So, you know, don't use... Don't...
Yeah.
I mean, ethical problems with GitHub aside, I mean, it's free shit, right?
I mean,
problems people may have with GitHub. I'm not saying you.
No, I think that's really fair. And I think that... Even me, who doesn't care about this kind of thing, if they was charging me 30 quid a year for Obsidian Publish, it would be a no-brainer. Up to £50, Garrett, as a locked-in price, I'd be like, that's fine, I'll just keep using that. But as soon as you get into the realms of like £90-odd pounds a year, you have to start going, "This, I want to support what they're doing. Like, I like what they're doing, I want to support them, but it's just not worth the investment." Because, I mean, for me, Obsidian isn't free. And I'm paying for Obsidian Publish and Obsidian Sync. Each service costs £96 a year, so I'm basically paying £200 a year for Obsidian, and it's just not worth it. I mean, I recently looked.
I was going to ask, have you come across a solution for the Sync?
The solution for the Sync is I think I'm just going to use UpNote.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, this site. Get up note, yeah, getupnote.com. This application called Upnote, to make that right. What getupnote.com shows you, it's basically, and I mean this flatteringly, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it's basically a knockoff of Bear Notes. Bear Notes is hugely popular in the Mac ecosystem, but the thing that makes Upnote better is it's truly multi-platform, because it's on Mac, it's on Windows, it's on iOS, it's on Linux, it's on Android, it's everywhere you would want it. And they have their pricing where they literally go, it's 99 pence a month, which again, I don't want any subscription, or $30 for a lifetime. So I was like, I'll just give them 30, like, because I actually had some credit in my wallet and stuff. So I was like, I'm just fine, that's fine. Like £22, like minus the credit I had, it was like, you know, a tenner. And then I can just use it on all platforms. And they give you unlimited syncing with a limit of only having 20 megabyte attachments, which is fine. Like I can't imagine a story where I've got one single attachment bigger than 20 megabyte anyway. But yeah, it's really clean. It uses Markdown. I can just hit one button to export to Markdown. This solves my syncing problem. And one of the problems with Obsidian that people probably don't talk about that much is Obsidian on mobile is shit. It's horrendous. Like, it's so slow to load. And then if you want to start jumping around, the interface is really convoluted because it's the same code base. So you kind of like, it's kind of like it just thinks it's on a really small desktop. It's really weird. I don't love Obsidian on mobile, never have done, which is one of the reasons I've been using Apple Notes on my mobile, and then I've been copying and pasting into Obsidian. But Upnote kind of tackles
that's
that.
That's not great.
Well, it's not. I mean, unusable.
The Upnote mobile one is much better, I assume.
Well, yeah. The Upnote mobile feels really responsive. It feels like a proper mobile app. I was using Obsidian on my iPad, but my iPad has got a keyboard. Which means that obviously I had access to all the shortcut keys. So Obsidian was fine on my iPad, but on my phone it was awful. So I'd do what I'd spend a lot of time doing, was throw a note into Apple Notes and then just copy and paste it later into Obsidian. But yeah, like Upnote
that's not great.
Yeah, Upnote. I mean, it's fine for people that don't use mobiles for note taking and stuff. But I tend to live on my mobile. I do as much on my mobile as I do on my laptop.
I didn't know you was doing that.
I've been doing that since I had the iPhone. I mean, it wasn't a deal breaker because like I can load Apple Notes in like a nanosecond on Mac OS. I can just go copy paste.
Oh, I know, like, but it's just going, like as a just time wasting thing. Yeah. It's kind of annoying, right?
Whereas Upnote just like rolls, like it's the best of both worlds. I've got unlimited syncing. I've got like no subscription. I've got a lightning fast app on both my laptop and my mobile. I would prefer to stay with Obsidian because I'm still going to be using Obsidian to update my website. So I'm not in any way knocking Obsidian as an application. It's great, but this just seems like a better solution for me. And I think a lot of people might find it a better solution as well. And weirdly, Upnote knows Obsidian's a big player to the point where it lets you just import an entire Obsidian vault, just import the whole thing, and it manages it fairly elegantly. It loses attachments, but you can just drag and drop them in afterwards and just put them back. So I did my entire vault of over 1,000 notes in about half an hour. So yeah, and this sidebar look. Oh, it also does something really cool. I can't pop it open to show people, obviously, because I've got my actual personal notes in there. But if I make a note anywhere in Upnote and I just add a checkbox with two square brackets as you do in Markdown, that will then automatically appear in a special section called To Do. So anything with an unticked checkbox will automatically appear in that filter without me doing anything.
Oh, that's pretty weird. Cool.
I don't often use check notes in my notes, like unless I'm working on a project. But it's nice that they're just there and you can't accidentally forget to do something because it's always going to be there.
I mean, oddly enough, I was actually specifically looking up checkbox Markdown earlier.
Hmm. Yeah, open square bracket, space, close square bracket.
No. I know what it is, but in Obsidian, you have to put it in a list for it to. So you have to do a dash and then the open square bracket.
Yeah,
I
think that's the standard.
That's a new rule.
Is it?
No, there is no standard. That's what I was looking up. There is no standard. Yeah, that is Obsidian flavored Markdown, which is one of the. Markdown fucking bugs me. Anyway.
Markdown's too loosey-goosey for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, right? Although, in a related note, I have moved all my shit to Obsidian, perhaps temporarily, I don't know.
And you were saying this last night, every time you jump on a platform, I leave it.
Yep. Same happened with thingy. Bitwarden.
Yep.
You moved which might have been in the last show.
Yeah. Also, One Pass is annoying because One Pass is so good, but they're a fucking subscription as well. I've tried to get Rumble subscriptions, but One Pass is so good I can't not have it. It's like, it's too good. It's so elegant.
Anyway. Yeah. That's what you get. You move to Mac and you're just used to elegance. It's your own fault.
Yeah. I should be on Linux where everything feels like a car engine about to explode.
It's a great time.
What a time to be alive.
Works for me.
And only me, because no one else can use it.
Push on. So I was using a wiki for my notes, and I was fine up until a point. I still can't really describe what the problem is. It's just, my Corhiza. I will link you. If you just look for that, you just find mushrooms because that's what they named it after. That's not a hex. That's hex. This is a little wiki thing, and it's real nice and easy to run. It's just a binary, and it's cool. It has its own markup language, which I actually quite like, but yeah, it also has its own little quirks. But the problem with using a wiki is that it is entirely confined to a browser. Well, rather, it's not really. The plain text files are available on wherever you're running it. Because it does just use a Git repo in the background. Which is fine. And sometimes I used Vim and sometimes I used the web interface. And, you know, but it just starts falling down later. Because you can't really, like, it has tags, but they feel a bit tacked on.
Right.
I don't know how else to describe that. There's just, yeah, I've kind of had... I was doing a lot of thinking the last few days, and I've also kind of, in conjunction with this, decided I don't want the majority of my tools to be running in a web browser. I want the option for them not to be. And even though technically I could work with just the files, it just, I don't know, I still can't really describe it. It's just, like, this is a good software and I really like it, but at the same time, and I do like the custom markup, but at the same time, it's a custom markup. It's kind of annoying to move. Because I have moved it all over to Markdown now, but in order to do that, I had to change it to HTML with its own tool, and then change that back to Markdown, and then fix everything that was wrong with that, because when this changes its files to HTML, it adds a ton of extra shit that to the HTML, which Pandoc doesn't deal with very well when transferring back down. So, yeah, there's just, yeah. I think it ultimately, while there's nothing wrong with using custom shit, I think if you implement something custom, you should have that way out very easily, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, part of the issue with Markdown is there's loads of different versions of it. But then this has gone as far as forking Markdown to the point where it's its own markup language, which is...
I mean, I don't... this actually did not start like that. It actually started as... it actually started as an extension of Gemtext from Gemini.
Wait, so Gemtext is a streamlined Markdown with a specification. And then they've then spun it back up again.
Yes, but I mean, they're also very different applications. This is supposed to be run in a browser. Gemtext was, you know, I mean, you have to account for the fact that it has to be HTML. Whereas gemtext is kind of the same regardless of if it's went rendered or not.
Gemtext is just plain text.
I mean, basically. I mean, some of the clients rendered some of the stuff, but like, mostly it's just plain text.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still cool. If I was going to make an actual wiki for like a topic, I would probably use this. But as a notes thing, yeah. Like, I used to think a wiki's probably fine for notes, and it might be. But I think ultimately just having a file hierarchy at all times in front of your face is probably the better way. Yeah. That's another thing. When like it's kind of there is an all page, like an everything page, but it's not like if there's a folder, it lists everything in the folder and the folder. There's no like drop downs or it's very hard to find things. Which is not what you want from your notes, right? And you want to be able to quickly tag shit and stuff, whereas tagging stuff in this is like there's an extra box on the left and you have to click on the box. And
it's actually one of the things I've never liked about Obsidian, and there's very few things I don't like about Obsidian. Obsidian is very close to being sort of the perfect notes application. But because it's strictly file system based, it means a note can't exist in more than one place at the same time, where with most modern note applications, I can be like, this is here, but this exact same file is also here. So if I edit one, it edits, like it's one file but in two locations. And that's something you can do in UpNote, where I can just be like, I want this to be here, here, and here. And that one note appears as if it's in all those locations. Essentially, it's symlinking. But
I was just thinking that.
It is basically symlinking. But Obsidian, symlinking doesn't really work when you're syncing things between locations with Obsidian Sync, so that I might make a symlink on Mac, and it won't work on Windows, or it won't work on Android, or it won't work on iOS.
The use case for that?
For instance, if I've got a document that I want to work on in two places, like I might have... what I did was I had an insurance document, and I have a hierarchy where I'm like home, car, documents. So I put my car insurance into my car folder, but then I was like, I also wanted it to appear in documents folder where all the insurances were in a folder. So all the insurance, so I can find it by going through the car insurance or by going through the documents folder into the insurance folder.
Okay. Yeah,
so it's not like a deal breaker because you just remember where you've put it. But the fact that as soon as I switched to UpNote, I could do that was kind of like, oh, I can just do what I used to do now. And I felt like it wasn't limiting me. And when you click on the note, it just tells you all the locations it's showing at the bottom, and that's quite nice.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
It's not something I use a lot, but it's something that when I can use it, I'm like, oh, that's convenient. It's just that I haven't got to remember where I've put it. Because like, it's not like I have to stop and go, where would I have put that? So because I could have put it in two places, and now I can just go, I'll just put it in both the places I could put it, and it doesn't really matter which one I edit.
That makes sense. Nice. Okay.
There is some, self-hosting the stuff you do, like you probably wouldn't like UpNote because obviously you can't self-host it. It worked for me.
I mean, we have very different use cases, right?
Yeah, very drastically different. And that's why we have to fight to the death regularly.
Yes, we do. I am, like I said, Obsidian may or may not be where I land, because I do also have my Surface, and I was looking for... At the moment, I've just installed the Git plugin in Obsidian.
You only get two devices, so, you have access to Git, that's fine.
Yeah, but if I, on the rare occasion, I do want to look at something on my phone, I then don't have access to it. So I was thinking of I don't know.
One of the things
I meant to look at because if I want to see a note on my phone, I probably just want to read it. I don't think I've ever added anything from my phone when I was using anything.
Yeah.
So like, I could just render something statically and serve it on my fucking server, my local one, not on the internet, and just access it from there. Just run a Goldfinch instance on it. I don't know how well that work.
Someone in our chat said, "Hi man, do you know a program for movement mouse? Blah blah blah."
I did notice that. I assume it was. I just kind of assumed that was a bot or something. To be honest,
I've only just looked at it. Well, what I use is hand for movement of mouse. I apply hand to mouse and then use the neural motion command built into my brain. No DLC required.
I'm sorry, you're doing that wrong. You use actually, X do too?
Also, I use trackpad and finger a lot as well. Literally depends which one I rest on.
If you're using a touchscreen, does that count as using a mouse?
No, it's a trackpad. Touchscreen is a screen trackpad, right? It's a trackpad.
But if it renders the mouse cursor, is it still a mouse?
No, it's a trackpad. It's a pointing device, not a mouse.
Pointing device is your finger.
I've got a finger. I do like someone's tuned into our channel, asked a question that's unrelated to anything, and then gone, blah, 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 and apparently left. I enjoy that. That's the kind of view.
Happens.
It's the kind of viewer that we want.
you don't pick your viewers, but you can pick your nose or something.
Viewers, yeah. To be honest, our trendy audience are all right. Like, we got most of them watch on YouTube, but like...
Generally speaking, right. Yeah.
I like our trendy audience. I don't like a lot of my audience that I have, but the trendy audience are great. The people that get really mad at me for having opinions when my whole channel is about having opinions, they're the ones that wind me up the most.
I can't remember who it was now. I think I've seen another channel semi-recently where it was kind of like you to just record videos about what they're interested in. But when the second they're onto a different topic, the comments are, you used to do this, but now you don't.
Yeah, I don't even get me started on that. Yeah. So people like, it used to be a Linux channel. It's like, I was never a Linux channel. I was never really a Linux channel. I was just like, this is what I'm doing right now. It's, yeah. Yeah. All those comments go to the day when people, I'd put a short up and loads of people in the chat was like, I'm here for Jesus. And I had no idea what anyone was talking about, which was weird.
I do like that no matter what you're into, someone will find you.
Someone will find me and be mad at me. They'll find me. They'll be angry at me.
I am unsure where my notes are going at the moment, but Obsidian seems pretty okay.
Obsidian is good,
especially
though.
Since last time I tried it out. Yeah. Last time I tried it out was before you even switched to it, and it was just didn't feel right.
I would say there are certain plugins you basically need in Obsidian, because even with the Vault I'm using just for updating my website, I wanted WordCamp plugin. I wanted the language tool plugin. I wanted the tag wrangler.
WordCamp by default.
It's rubbish. The WordCamp by default, like it's ridiculous. It's so far. You can literally type the word the and it'll be like 8 characters. I'm like, that's 3 letters. And it's like, we count invisible characters and carriage returns. It's like, don't do that. Better WordCamp plugin is really nice.
Yeah, okay.
Better WordCamp also tells you the average reading time for the amount of words you've got as well, which is quite good.
I do, generally speaking, just keep my plugins to fucking an absolute minimum.
I think with Obsidian, the plugins, it's like a framework for you to hang plugins on, and even the community plugins have been vetted by the Obsidian team, so there's nothing truly dangerous in there. Like, none of them are going to outright break anything. And even
you just delete them
from the folder. And also, like, the default theme in Obsidian is awful. I hate it. It's horrible.
I did get a new theme. I got the Dracula theme.
Oh, I use Cybertron.
That's what I use. I use Dracula because that's what I use everywhere, and it's available for everything. So easy, right?
Yeah, I use Dracula in VS Code. I've been using a lot of VS Code the last few days, and I installed Dracula, and it was more than passable. It was good.
This Dracula for Obsidian is quite green heavy. Usually it's pink.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do like... I use a fork of Cybertron by the Link Your Thinking channel. It's very good. It's very me. It looks like a cyberpunk album cover.
I will look at it later. One plugin I did, the first plugin I did get, though, was Hider. To get rid of the fucking tabs. I hate tabs.
But I don't want
if
any.
Not in
the
browser, you don't need. Nope. Yeah. Fucking, they're stupid. I do. The only thing about the tabs thing is And I assume this is Obsidian's fault. It does seem to be linked to all the other buttons on the top. So if you hide the tabs, you also hide the button that opens and closes the sidebar. And the edit button, which I use controller anyway.
Yeah,
it's
not
a big deal.
I use option like square brackets to open the sidebars, and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, none of this is... Ooh, that's interesting. Yeah, it's not, none of this is a big deal. I have been just kind of learning the shortcuts. And
the other thing you do is when you're on your Obsidian, hit three little dots on the top right and open the local graph and then drag it to the bottom right. And the local graph is actually quite useful because it shows every note that's linked to your current note, which is actually useful because you can go, okay, that's linked to here. Why have I linked that there? And it's quite good.
It also hides those three little lock buttons. But I mean, I do just have, you can just toggle it on and off, yeah. So it's fine.
Yeah, the lock button is good for opening certain things. That's about it.
Tabs piss me off, but yeah.
Yeah, I have a mix. I think with the right theme, you can minimize the height of the tabs, which they're because the default theme, like, they're huge. Like, why they're massive? They're like a whole note in themselves.
My main problem with tabs is it's pointless. They serve no purpose. If you have a file hierarchy open at all times, you're clicking on one, and it should just open that one and save the last one. Why is the tabs there?
I split. And then I have two files open, but I rarely have more than one tab open. I agree with you.
Tabs don't do anything. That splits are fine. Splits make sense. Yeah. Tabs are wasting time on anything other than a browser.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah, and well, yeah, no, if everyone works
or rather,
files,
you know, maybe a terminal with tabs is fine. Too. Certain cases in notes, tabs are pointless.
I do install.
If you like them, fine, but I don't.
I do install the recent plugin. I just have a little recents block on the bottom left, so I can just cycle through my recently looked at tabs. That works for me. And then I'm not recently accessed files, not tabs. But yeah, no, I agree. I'll split it and I'll just work on two files. But I rarely have more than one tab open. If I have got more than one tab open, it's by accident. Like it's that simple. Yeah. I feel like everyone wants to put tabs in everything.
Stupid. Obsidian, when I last used... Actually, do you know what? When I first tried Obsidian, it didn't have tabs.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I actually... Before I went to use my wiki, I tried to use Obsidian first. I seen that it had tabs, and I just uninstalled it.
Have you, maybe Zettler's more what you should be looking at. If you're not using plugins and you don't want tabs, maybe Zettler's what you should be looking at.
Just doesn't feel nice.
It does. I agree. It does feel like shit. It feels open.
I did also.
It feels.
I did also try LogSec.
Oh, LogSec's interesting.
LogSec seems like a pretty good program. It just uses block based everything, and I fucking hate that. So.
Yeah. LogSec.
It's the same reason I didn't like Notion. It's just that block based crap annoys the shit out of me.
I can
see the usefulness of it, I suppose, ultimately, but at the same time, there's a live demo at the bottom, so you can just run it in your browser.
I can't even... Like, also, I'm going to stop using DuckDuckGo soon, because DuckDuckGo, sometimes it just did it on camera then. Sometimes it just goes, no, and it doesn't do anything for like 4 seconds, and it's super annoying. It just hangs sometimes.
I have had that problem actually, but I'm not going to use anything else because I don't know if there is anything else that's not Google. That's not true.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's Bing.
I mean, LogSec is probably super good. I mean, people do like it, and it is open source and stuff. But yeah, the block thing. Annoys me. I don't like it.
How does LogSec syncing and stuff work? Are they going to cost me £1 million as well, though?
I have no idea. I mean, I've never actually looked. They don't have a... Do they even do syncing? I don't know.
I mean, they must be syncing somehow, right?
I mean, it could just be a notes app? They don't seem to have a pricing or any way of giving them money, but they do have a job section. I'm confused, actually.
I should look at Logsec. I should install Logsec on my tablet and on my iPad and see what happens.
Do they have mobile apps?
Yeah, I'm sure they have one. I've got my iPad open right now. Let me have a look. Open App Store. I feel like everything's got an iPhone and iPad app at this point. Like, everything.
Okay, yeah. there is an Android version, so I assume there's an iPhone, iPad, whatever the fuck. I forget if they're different.
They are. I don't know why they're different. Yeah, Logsec, productivity app, Logsec.
There you go.
I'm installing it right
try,
now.
I guess.
I'm going to go live.
It is on the page. iOS, macOS. Interesting. But yeah. I think Obsidian is minimal enough and not as janky that I'm like, yeah. It's weird the things that you put up with jank in and other places you won't, right?
Oh yeah, no, I totally agree with that. There are certain things like my web browser. I want my web browser to work consistently. I don't care how badly it works, as long as whatever it does consistently, right? Don't care. Like, for me, my desktop interface has to be nice and smooth. Again, consistency. But then my notes app can be janky as fuck, as long as it works. It works. I don't care. But then if I load up like a streaming service and it's janky, that pisses me off.
Oh, can I complain?
Absolutely.
I had, what was it, last week? I just had a week of dealing with company bullshit. And it started with you.
With me? What did I do?
Yeah. Because Hex went, oh, Overwatch 2's on GFN.
Yeah, it did. Yeah,
I've never played a Blizzard game before. So I had to sign up for a Blizzard account in order to play Overwatch 2, which, before I get into this, Overwatch 2, for those of you who don't know, is a knockoff of Paladins. It's okay.
Yeah, it is.
The signing up for a Blizzard account is fucking insane. It is batshit. Yeah.
Sign up one. Use the arrows to find the distance between the two cars that match. They use the arrows until they're even, right, I assume?
No. What those arrows do is when you flick through it, the cars are just in different positions, and you have to get it so it is, in this example, one car is four steps ahead of the other car.
Oh.
And you'll notice that this is 1 of 10.
Fuck's sake. And then on the second
now,
one...
I'm pretty sure I did this correct, and it just wouldn't go through, so I did the audio version, and the audio version... is it plays three different sounds and you have to pick the one that sounds like it's repeating 10 times, which was bollocks. So this was when I was signing up, and then for some reason I got, I believe in total, 4 or 5 different captures in my attempt to sign up to Blizzard.
Select
that one,
where
the fingers
total,
one is
that's
just
creepy
odd. Right,
that's so creepy.
I mean, this that's is clearly 15. AI generating nonsense. 2 of 15. The last one wasn't too bad, but the fact is, it's another 2 of 15.
Pick the image with 3 circles in a row in any direction. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, but you have to do it 15 times. And at this point, I think that was the last one I did. At this point, I'd done 4 others. I think in total, I'd done like 45 fucking captures to sign up to a Blizzard account. Because by the time you've actually signed up, it then wants... You're fucking it also wants a mobile number. So you've signed up, you've given it your email, you've done a confirmation email, and it goes, because when I'm signing up it says mobile optional, right? So I don't add one. But then I go to play Overwatch, it goes, in order to play Overwatch, you have to give us a mobile number.
Yeah.
So I was like, for fuck's sake. So I do that, give them a mobile number, and it goes, give us the confirmation code, and I sit there for like 10 minutes and nothing's coming through. And in order to do that in the first place, I had to do another captcha. And then I go, fine, I'll hit resend me and resend the code. So I have to do another captcha. Yeah. At which point, I receive 2 codes.
And then you're like, which one is it?
Well, I picked the last one and it worked. This is bollocks. I don't care how popular Blizzard games are and how much they want to stop people making multiple accounts. That's insane.
Can we just even point out, from though,
you know, the pure finger accessibility one, standpoint, yes.
But the finger one is obviously an AI-generated image to check that you're not an AI. What?
I mean, they all are. Look at the car one. It's the same.
Yeah. But an AI-generated image to check you're not an AI. Mad.
I mean, it's not. It's for you to train the AI so it can solve this.
Yes, so. You're mad.
But, like, yeah, no, fuck this bollocks. I almost just didn't even play. Because that was bullshit.
To make it worse, though, the night that Wing did all this, I was really up playing Overwatch. And then I couldn't play Overwatch because GeForce Now was fucked.
It was working for me. And yeah, for Hex, kept getting hitches.
I kept getting microstars.
That may be one of the most frustrating experiences I've ever had trying to play a fucking game.
Yeah, but to be fair, then, Paladins works fine. Yeah.
Paladins does work fine until it doesn't and the servers get fucked most of the time. Still a good game, though. a couple of days later, I wanted to buy some musics.
You did?
The musics I wanted to buy was, for in a related topic, wanted to buy the soundtrack to Hazbin Hotel.
Yeah.
I was like, right. For some reason, most places had, like, the soundtrack in two parts.
Right.
And it was after all this whole fucking thing happened. The place I normally get them did actually eventually have the full album. I don't know what the hell that was about. But I initially tried to buy it on Amazon. In fact, I initially tried to watch the show on Amazon. I did watch the show on Amazon. But because I'm on Linux, it would only let me watch the bloody thing in 480p, which was bullshit. And it also played ads in 1080.
Wow.
On Prime. On wow. Prime. So get fucked, Amazon. Don't be
Wait,
playing fucking
ads.
Ads
on Prime? You get ads on Prime?
Yeah, no, they added that a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, no. Fuck you, Amazon. But anyway, I tried to buy the album on Amazon. And I went through... It kept trying to load up the Amazon music store. And just giving me this nebulous error that I couldn't figure out. And, well, actually, the first time I did it, it like comes up as like server error. So I was like, okay. So I waited until the next day and tried it again, got the same thing. And I was, because it was letting me, if I wanted to open up Amazon Music Streaming, it was letting me open that. So I was like, there's something strange going on here. And up until that point, I hadn't actually tried to play anything on Amazon Music Streaming. But then I did, and then I got the same thing. And I was very fucking confused, and I was just poking around settings and stuff. And there is, I can't remember exactly where it is, but there's somewhere in Amazon Music where you have to set the country you're in.
Right.
And that's what the problem was. I had to set it and say, I am in Ireland.
Right.
And then, I clicked on buy, and it says, we don't sell music to your country.
The Irish, they're known for not listening to music. That's the problem. Yeah.
So I was like, what the shit? So I was like, right, fuck that. I did find the album on 7 Digital then, which I have heard of before, and I bought it, and it's good. It's a really good soundtrack.
I don't know. However, 7 Digital. Fine.
I found them via an Audio Bastard subreddit once. There's two. There's Kubuz. I don't know how to pronounce it. Q-O-B-U-Z and then 7 Digital. However, both of these sites have a fucking stupid. Number one, 7 Digital downloads over HTTP. Baffling, yeah. That is.
Okay.
The website's HTTPS. Kubuz, which I used before after Google Play shut down, they're... tend to be a bit more expensive, but they say they're giving more money to artists. I don't know. It's like €2 or €3 or more. So I'm like, fine, but they didn't have the album at the time. But I do want to point out, in just as part of this rant, I actually stopped using them months ago because they did an update where they just stopped letting you download the albums, like the full albums. Like, I can go to albums I bought. I used to, at the time, last year, just be able to download a zip of the album I bought. But a couple of months ago, they decided in order to download the albums, you have to install our program. Otherwise, download them each track individually.
Which service is this?
I will link. This one. Right? So they say... What makes this worse, actually, right? If you try and download their program, it just auto-fills in the operating system. It's just taking the string. So if I click download, it will say download our app for Linux. And then it will take me to the download page where that doesn't exist.
Okay.
Them too can fuck themselves. If you are not... If you're like a fucking... You know, I believe they're fairly popular, but like still, you're not the giant thing. You should not be making it difficult for people to use you. That's not how you get popular. I realise this is a Linux problem, but at the same time, it's not. Regardless of what operating system you're on, they want you to download the program to download full albums without downloading them in individual tracks at a time. It's fucking ludicrous. Because the first three albums I bought on this, I could just download zips. And then at some point, they had this stupid update where they decided you need their stupid fucking program. Nobody wants to provide a, you know, just easy experience to spend money. And then they have the fucking audacity to turn around and complain about piracy.
I mean, I do feel a bit like we're going backwards with a lot of stuff here. Like, we're getting ads on Prime, a service you're paying for, like it's fucking cable TV. And you can't download music in case of what? Like, why? I'll tell you what, they want metrics off your system is probably the reason.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah, it's...
Who knows? Probably fucking who knows. It's just bollocks. And it's like, I did eventually manage to buy the fucking album, but like, it's just stupid.
Also,
Amazon's
seven,
like, you're
Nick,
in the wrong country.
Or is the 7 Digital website really similar to the Bandcamp website, or how it used to look?
Probably.
Hmm.
I don't remember. I think it's got a very similar colour scheme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. They're just... It's... I don't know what companies are doing.
I really
don't.
Late-stage capitalism making it to the point where they're trying any random shit to make money they don't deserve.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of late-stage capitalism, we watched two films, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We watched Camelot.
We watched Camelot. Camelot, for those of you who don't know, is a musical from 1967.
I did not know anything going into this. Hex was just like, let's watch Camelot, and I went, sure.
It was 67. Camelot, I think, is probably one of the best musicals. It's a wonderful film, and the fact it's a musical makes it better. I really like Camelot. It's well up there in the favourite film territory. It's got some beautiful songs, some beautiful people, and like the main dude in it, Richard Harris, gives this ridiculously emotional performance the whole way through. That's just wonderful.
He's good. He's a good actor. It's also 3 hours long.
They're not worried about making you sit there, are they? They're not worried about that. It doesn't feel like 3 hours, though. It's such an entertaining film. I don't think you feel like you've been sitting there 3 hours.
It did not feel like 3 hours. It was quite good. It had some odd moments. There was one particular scene that felt like it was from a different version of the movie.
Which scene?
They just put it in and then forgot about it.
It was the
one where they're destroying the round table, and then they just act like that never happened.
it's like somewhere there's a slightly shorter version. We'll skip that.
Yeah, it's like there was a whole It's like there was a whole rebellion against Arthur, and then everyone just still continues treating him like king, and not never happened.
Yeah, I think, like, it is a bit janky. I think there's probably a longer cut that makes it all make sense. But it's almost like Arthur spends a night in the woods and his bastard son just goes mental and causes him to go mental. And then mom comes down and everyone goes, oh, we'll stop now. Yeah.
It has a lot of strangeness to it, but I liked it.
Yeah, and the songs are really good, right? The songs are great.
Yeah, songs good, like a musical.
Yeah.
There was something about this movie.
There is that song where it's like, oh, it's May, let's all be slags. I love that song. That's my version. That's my version of it. That's the version I choose to go with that song. It's May, let's be slags. And there's what's the other good song? There's another good song, isn't there? Oh, the actual Camelot theme tune for the first song in the film, I think it is. That's good as well.
Yes, the sets was quite good. However, I did find that if you go down to the legacy section on Wikipedia, you'll see that because it cost so much and took so much time to do those sets, that was the last time they ever tried to physically reconstruct a foreign location in Hollywood, apparently.
It's like, we're not doing it again. In future, we'll just go somewhere. Despite the high cost, Camelot was widely criticised for its cheap appearance, having obviously been filmed on an architecturally ambiguous set amidst the chapel.
I didn't think it looked that cheap.
I thought it looked all right. I thought it looked fine.
Yeah,
but I think maybe they're going, it costs £10 trillion. Why does it look shit? Why doesn't it look better? But yeah, architecturally ambiguous is going to be my new name in Discord. I love that. I want to be architecturally ambiguous.
I think they look pretty good. Also, the costumes is real good, especially the ones the Queen was wearing. She got some cool dresses.
Yeah.
There's that one that just looked like fucking, she's just like a really long fucking, it was like scales of some description. It was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, a lot of it. Weirdly,
it's an odd movie.
A lot of the visuals in Camelot remind me of the live action He-Man movie. I don't know why. I think it's got a similar visual at times.
Oh my god, we watched that.
That's a good film, but it's not. It's a terrible film.
Do you remember the time he had the sword and he dropped it, but then it was on his back?
Right. For those of you who don't know, there's a bit in He-Man that was supposed to be off because it was filmed in a certain resolution, but then they used the coverage to make the widescreen version. And there's a bit where He-Man's walking up the stairs and the cardboard sword he's carrying just comes off. And because it was supposed to be off screen, the director must have been like, carry on. And they sort of stop and they just carry on again. But it was supposed to be off screen. But because of modern cinema, that's really obvious to the point where you go, He-Man's sword just fell off. It's not even like subtle. It's just like He-Man's sword literally just fell off and it was cardboard. So yeah, you should watch out for that if ever you watch it. I get obsessed with it. I can't enjoy the movie till I see He-Man's sword fall off. Then I'm like, oh, I can relax there.
It was not a good movie, but the man playing Skeletor is worth it for him.
That guy was that. Oh my god, I could do a whole episode about that film. Also, we watched Barbie.
That man was great. We did watch Barbie. We only watched Barbie last night.
I thought we'd watched Barbie before. I can't remember.
We had not. Hex watched Barbie before and just imagined me being there.
I watched Barbie at the cinema.
Which says more about him, I
with
think.
My daughter, and I misremembered and thought I watched it with Wing, which means that in my head, Wing is basically just my daughter, which I think is.
That has happened multiple times before.
Yeah.
It has not happened. It hasn't happened in a while, but there was a period there where I would constantly get messages on Discord meant for Hex's daughter.
That's because I just get the top thing in Discord, and it's usually daughter, and it was you really that time, so you know. Tell the audience what you think of the Barbie movie. Tell the audience what you think.
Despite the fact that everybody was talking about this forever when it came out, I knew very little about it. I just assumed it was a musical, to be honest.
Should have been a musical.
Kind of wish it was.
Yeah, it would have been better.
I kind of wish it was, but...
Sometimes it is.
Only that once. Wait, well, and a bit.
Well, you got that song about being pink.
There's singing... At some points, but I don't think it hits musical levels until the very last one.
The only thing I would say, right, is there's a bit, for most people have seen Barbie, so I'm not going to care about spoilers. But you know the bit where they're at the super epic blowout party at the sort of like early on in the film, where there's lots of dancing, and then Barbie has thoughts of irrepressible thoughts of death, right?
Yeah.
I want to go to that party. I just really want to go to that party.
You have irrepressible thoughts of death.
I used to. I don't anymore. I used to have it a lot, though. I used to just lie awake at night worrying about my own mortality. And now I don't.
That's
Looking forward
good.
to it now, actually. But yeah, like, it's all right.
No, it's a good movie. There's some. It's got a good mix of you know, funnies and thoughts. I liked
But
the main, not Barbie, the woman who's she's Barbie's was her Barbie thing. That whole plot point, her, the mother.
yeah,
Yes.
everyone's seen Barbie. Don't worry about spoilers. Everybody's ever going to see Barbie at this point. You was the last human to see Barbie.
That's entirely possible. Yeah. She was cool. I liked her. She's a really good actress.
I like most people in it. I just want to take the entire Will Ferrell plot line and shoot it out of a cannon and then shoot at it like I'm
That
Clay
was very
Pigeon-Hunter.
pointless. There's like the very last 10 minutes could have just not been there.
Honestly, I felt like more every time I watch it. I'm like, that's half an hour. Then you pointed out it was 10 minutes, and I was
Yeah.
like, yeah, that's yeah.
Yeah, because Hex was like the last half an hour, and it was still had it going in the final song at that point. I'm like, there's no way Hex doesn't like this.
No, the weird
So it was
music
like, yeah,
video
it's
with the
actually the
chairs is
very,
great.
very end of it.
I hate it. I fucking hate it. Like, I think it ruins the movie. It's like, it's so bad. I hate it. And like, Will
Yeah,
Ferrell is awful. He shouldn't be in things. I hate him.
I think. We watched a friend of the show, Becca, was also watching it, and I think she is 100% correct in that he's only there because he was also in the Lego movie, and this is another movie about toys. And they thought they
Yeah.
needed it for some reason. Because it's basically the exact same ending.
You could have rewritten it in a slightly different way and just not bothered with the whole Mattel plot line in the film. Like you could have just written it from the belief of the police is dead.
I did like the ghost of the Barbie creator, though. She was
Yeah, I liked her, but yeah, the whole you could have just had it so Barbie got in trouble for stealing clothes when she first got to the human world, and then it was her dodging the police. And then she has to escape to Barbie World because she's running from the police. I think the reason they didn't do that was because it would have made like Barbie's now running from the police, which is kind of a weird metric, like it's kind of a weird optic. But I
Yeah,
think
they
they could
needed
have done,
something else.
but they could have done something other than the Mattel plot line, because every scene Will Ferrell is in is bad. Like not just like less good, but bad. Like any scene with him, any scene in the real world with Mattel, bad. So yeah, I
It
didn't
does
like it.
feel like they're acting in a different movie, right?
It would have been better if a different toy was chasing them, like if someone from Barbie World was sent to retrieve them, and that like a Transformer or something, and they're running from another
I don't
toy.
think they have Transformers
I
in
don't know,
Barbie World.
whatever Mattel, Hasbro, whatever it is, Mattel own, like find another Mattel toy and have that be sent to retrieve them. Would have been a better option, then we wouldn't have had to look at Will Ferrell's face. So yeah,
Perhaps. I suppose. Okay.
just
Yeah.
reframe it slightly. You could have a better movie, but yeah, but the
I
whole
mean,
Mattel thing was
they
weird.
weren't even in it that much.
It's
It
just
was
every scene
just,
though was
yeah.
bad, and it feels like they're really more because you just go like, oh, when's this over? Yeah,
Yeah, fair.
yeah. But overall, the at least 30, at least 50% of that movie I love. The other 50%,
I'd
I'm like, it's
say
fine.
it's more than that, right?
I basically love, I adore the movie up until they get to the real world, and then I can leave all the real world stuff. But all the Barbie world stuff, I love. Like the fight on the beach, the weird music video,
I
homoerotic
mean, you need
Kens. I love all of it.
the real
No,
world
I get
and
it,
discover
but
patriarchy.
I don't love all those scenes. I then like them, but I don't love them. And all the Barbie world scenes, I love. Like right up until Will Ferrell ruins it.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
they're yeah no good movie overall, and
Yeah,
also the last Ken musical was great.
Also, there was a lot of drama on the internet because man who played Ken got an Ryan Gosling got an Oscar, and no one else did. But I've seen that film a lot of times now, and he was the only one that gave an Oscar performance. Like, they can pretend all they want, they're outraged, but he was the only one fucking killing it, right? Like, everyone else was okay, but he was amazing. He was definitely Oscar worthy. I can see why he got the Oscar for it. There was the whole internet complained about that. Where's Margot Robbie's? She weren't that good. But I'm probably going to get cancelled now. I bought it on myself. It's fine.
Oh, there's no such thing.
It's not a real place.
I watched Hazbin Hotel.
Oh, you watched Hazbin Hotel, yeah, which I had up earlier, but then I closed by accident.
Hazbin Hotel is great. So I've mentioned Hell of a Boss before on this, which is also really good, and I like it, but Hazbin Hotel was actually the original. Hell of a Boss is a spin-off of Hazbin Hotel, but it came out first because Hazbin Hotel was picked up by Amazon, who wanted it all done before they released it all, whereas Hell of a Boss was just kind of releasing it as they were finishing the episodes. So, yeah. So this is about... in Hell of a Boss, it's in hell. It follows the people, the like imps and shit, people who was just born in hell, whereas Hazbin Hotel is following humans who went to hell, but mostly following Charlie, Lucifer's daughter, who wants to make them not be dickheads in order to attempt to get them back into heaven.
Okay.
And every... The setup to all of this is... Every year, a bunch of angels come down and murder a bunch of people because there's too many of them.
Wait, the dead people in hell?
Yeah, no. That is very much the for the characters to have something. It's in the first episode. It's very much made clear that there's something not right here. is just dealing with. Yeah. There's something not up with that. So. Basically, Adam is the main antagonist.
Okay.
And it's just bit. And it's just a musical comedy, and it's fucking brilliant, and I loved it. Obviously, because I went through bullshit to get the soundtrack. The soundtrack's great. It does have its issues, which I believe... I've watched one of their Q&As. They seem to have recorded a lot of stuff during the pandemic.
Right.
Like voice light for like voice and stuff, and kind of change the story after. Yeah, there's one. I believe the second last episode has a song that seems to be from a completely different version of the story. But like that's like the biggest problem. I think it does have other issues, but I think overall it's very good. And yeah, it's
also...
just.
The logo where it's got the key for the T looks like an owl, so I thought it was Hazbin Hollel.
I never even thought about that before.
The key doesn't look like a T at all.
It doesn't really.
It looks like Super Mario's hat has landed on the owl. Yeah,
it doesn't really look like a T, but it's got some great animations, which I always like. All 2D stuffs, which is a bonus, and fucking great music, good voice acting, fucking beautiful. It is an experience worth watching. It's very for anyone who is in any way thinking about how accurate to Bible stuff this is. It is not at all.
Yeah, they're using it as a setting, not a theology.
They are, and they very much pull from what I believe Hex calls Bible fan fiction.
Yeah. Bible fucking fan fiction.
Yes, but it's great. I love it. So. Adam's a dickhead. It's brilliant. Anyway, moving on.
We need to go a bit rapid now for two reasons.
We do.
I've accidentally started streaming at 60 frames a second, which is making my laptop... get far too hot. That's on me. So we do need to start wrapping up because I'm just checking my temperatures. It's not ideal.
We don't have much left. I started playing Middle-earth Shadow of War, which is very similar to Shadow of Mordor. When it initially came out, there was a bunch of shit about microtransactions and bollocks and stuff, which and far too much grinding because it was trying to sell microtransactions. I bought it far after that happened, and was removed, so I don't find it that grindy. It's very similar, only slightly extra stuff.
How the fuck is a game from 2017 still $34.99? That's taking the piss.
Not when I bought it. I picked this up quite cheap, but cause Warner Brothers, I assume.
Oh, okay.
But it is what it is. It's samey, but you know, in that way that I don't care.
It's in that comfort grind section, right?
Yeah. Basically, I mean, you're just grinding orcs.
Grinding on the orcs, yeah. Orc grind.
If you want.
Yeah.
Right, other shit.
Free software is an abject failure.
Oh, yeah, this was just an article I found that is just worth reading. I do not like the fact that you have to add a little thing to the top because people was really giving him shit over his opinions.
Yeah. The internet. This article is too nuanced for us to discuss in the time we've got. We could probably dedicate a whole show to it, but it's like many paragraphs, and it's a good article. Trendy.hexdsl.com. Go to the last show, scroll down, you'll see a link for it. It's worth your time reading it, but essentially it says lots of very level-headed, insightful things that he then apparently has to disclaimer. Because and then that's another conversation itself. Like, why is it that you're critical of open source software and you've got to put a fucking disclaimer at the top? Like, that says a lot about the audience we're dealing with here, in a way that
it does.
Yeah, that's another conversation we can have on its own.
I agree with a lot of the points brought up here.
Yeah, like, but, with yeah, every, like, with all things, like, you don't have to agree with everything. You just have to be able to say that's a well-rationed point. You haven't got to come away going, I agree. But I mean, sometimes reading a well-rationed point.
He has clearly put a lot of thought into it and has examples and stuff. Also, I did actually send me looking at like open source licenses because I did not know. I just assumed that MIT was like the super open thing. I mean, it is. I didn't know it had an attribution clause. But it does, apparently. So I'm going to change that because I use that. I'm just going to change that to BSD one, I guess.
Do you not just CC0 everything you do? Or do you want to get CC? Why don't you go CC CC with no non-commercial? That's usually...
That's what the BSD one is, just basically do what you want, right? I assumed the MIT would.
You're like,
was.
Do what you want, but corporations can fuck off. Is CC no non-commercial, right? There's a website.
There's a lot of random. I think it goes over like that. I think that's like a big point of the article, is like trying to say you can do what you want, but not if you're this person.
Yeah,
is kind of a big part of the article. Whereas, it's
anyway.
Yeah.
Dropping frames, let's move on. Google will no longer back up the internet.
Yeah, so the Google Cache links, they're just stopping doing that.
I have used them
very way, way, way in the past when websites used to sometimes just go down and you'd click on the Google Cache one. But apparently people use them for other stuff, I guess. I don't know. People seem quite upset about this, but I don't know.
People are upset about everything. I'm like, this is to me like archive.org exists. Who cares about this? I'm oversimplifying it, obviously, but yeah, for me, it's like. Yeah.
I mean, the article isn't very long. Also, as the last point, Sony removed a bunch of shit off PlayStation. Sony bought Crunchyroll. It's merging with Funimation. And if you had a Funimation account for a day, I believe explicitly said that if you bought stuff off them, you had it forever, are removing it from your digital library. So, more Sony fuckery. It does say forever, but there are some restrictions, which is very nebulous and can probably get them out of whatever the fuck could possibly be brought against them. But they do have the word forever in there, so I think that's bullshit. But it's just Sony being assholes again. And also, if you buy digital content that's not DRM-free, you don't fucking own it. Don't bother.
Lewis Rothman nailed it. If purchase doesn't mean ownership, then piracy isn't theft, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a man's good at slogans, right?
Yeah. It's yeah.
I mean, it's just basically Sony being fucking jackasses again.
Yeah. And also, we still have the Unsolved Mysteries of Quantum Leap video at the bottom of this page. They need to turn off this Ars channel. This has started being an anxiety point for me. These four links are always the same. Did you not just block
it with your...
No, I haven't blocked it yet, but it's starting to become an anxiety point for me. I must block it. So, yeah.
Block everything.
Look, to be honest,
let me see. I
usually read Ars through RSS, so it's like whatever.
RSS, there we go.
RSS, wow. That's good, I should probably block that. I hate that also, every time I see this, I think that Sam Beckett is in a Spider-Man outfit for just a fraction of a second, which always bothers me. Yeah.
I think that too.
Yeah, not just me, right? He totally looks like Spider-Man just for like a briefer second.
It's because when you're reading the article and you're still reading the text, but that image is in like your line of sight. Yeah, yeah. It's just it's slightly out of focus, and you go, yeah.
Okay, I'm really glad it's not just me. Okay. Anyway,
and that's everything.
And that's everything because I don't stream. I mean, I'm streaming at 60 frames a second, but you're currently only getting 22 because fuck knows. So I'm going to stop right now. Thank you for watching.
You did kind of cut out a bit there.
Yeah, that's because apparently I did an OBS update today. And apparently it's defaulted back to 60 frames a second. It's fucking with my system.
You were so happy when you opened it up and everything was in the same place.
Yeah, and then because I knew I had an update, you see, so I knew there was going to be some fuckery. So that's on me. But yeah, my Mac's a bit warm to say. Like it's Steam Deck levels of warm. So yeah, good job.
The Steam Deck. I assume it won't melt.
No, it's at 70 degrees, which is well under the thermal level for the MacBook, but it's still causing performance drops. So I'm going to go now, but hexdsl.com in the new look, hexdsl.com if you want to find out what I'm doing, trendy.hexdsl.com for trendy talk notes, and feather, the thing birds have, that's feather.onl for Wingy Poo.
Yay!
Thank you for watching. I've been Hexdsl. Goodbye.